Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your infinite wisdom. Lord, we thank you that we get to do life with you. Lord, you chose us. How miraculous. You've chosen us. Lord God, we commit this time to you. Lord, may we feel your presence deep within our soul. And you know what? If we don't feel anything, you're still here. Lord, thank you that there's nothing that we can do to be more spiritual. We are just your children, and you love us. And it's our joy to be loved by you and to love you. So, Lord, this time is yours. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, who's managing to breathe through the Christmas season? Good, Zoe. Praise the Lord. It's good to keep breathing and keep having fun. You know, I hate to admit this, but I'm actually, I like to call it a recovering person who dreads Christmas a little bit. So the Christmas season would come and I'd be like, oh no, they've got the decorations out. Oh no, it's Christmas time. Oh no, I've got to go shopping. For all kinds of reasons. You know, whether it's just because, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this, but you stand at the checkout. I actually had it this the other day, but it's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. And you come out in a hot sweat when you pay for the presents. And it kind of robs you of the joy because you go into a little bit of a coming away. And that kind of feeling can rob you of the joy of gift giving because you've overspent or you're whatever it is, it can rob you of the joy of gift giving. There have been years where I've not even wanted to put up the Christmas tree. And when it is up, I've just wanted it down as quickly as possible. Whether that's just because of the mess and the pine cones and the falling off tinsel. Ridiculous ideas. You're standing there going, Amanda, come on. I know I'm a pastor. I know Christmas time should be my favorite time of year. But for some reason, I would just get filled with a Christmas dread. You know, whether it's a kind of end of year exhaustion setting in, maybe it's just being surrounded with, you know, the commercialism, the coercion to buy, that kind of Christmas ugliness, but kind of it became a season that I dreaded rather than anticipated. And somewhere in the midst of it all, I just lost the miracle of the birth of Jesus. I kind of allowed that to be covered up, to be swallowed up by all of this stuff. And of course, all of this stuff isn't at all what it's about. Or maybe there's a glimmer of what it's about, a small reflection, but the heart of Christmas I kind of lost. And I'm on my way to rediscovering that. The fact that it's this time of the miraculous. It's God coming to earth. There's a stillness and a waiting about this season. There's mystery and there's the glory of God. There's the joy and the wonder. And I just want to recover all of that. And I'm learning what it means to find Jesus at the center of it all, like we've just sung. Christ is in the giving, because after all, he is our gift, isn't he? Our Father God is the ultimate giver. So of course we give gifts because our Father gives gifts, because we're made in his image. Christ is in the remembering. You know, sometimes Christmas time is where it's loudest. We remember the loudest those that are not with us anymore. And that can also rob us of the joy of celebration. But we have to remember that Christ is in the remembering. He's in the expectation and he's in the celebration. He is in our sorrow and he's in our grief and he's in the questions that surround us, particularly at a time like this where we see what's happened in Sydney and we see what's happened in Cairns and our heart breaks for those in Pakistan. God is in our suffering and he's in our sorrow. He is in everything. He is in our walking as we face our own personal giants and as we walk along those who are facing theirs. As we journey with others, God is with us. Even if they don't know him personally, God is there because we're there. we're in the season of Advent. And really, we're people who live Advent all the time, but we celebrate it now more than ever. It's our joy is found in Jesus. Our love is found in Jesus. Our peace is found in Jesus because he's coming back. We celebrate this incredible time where we are anticipating the birth of Christ, but we're also celebrating his return. And it's this interesting place where we live in the tension of that. My message today is called The Waiting, which was wonderful when Lynn came and said she wrote a poem yesterday called The Waiting. Isn't that how the Holy Spirit works? I just love that about him. He just knits everything together, and he speaks to us so personally, yet corporately, as we allow him to move. That's the goodness of God. But anyway, we're in the season of Advent. And so Advent in Latin means the coming. And so we celebrate, you know, baby Jesus, this incredible, glorious baby in a manger. And at the same time, like I said, we anticipate his return. We are pregnant with expectation. And that whole, I guess, image of pregnancy with Mary being pregnant, heavily pregnant. And if you've been heavily pregnant, you know, there is a joy of the coming baby. And you can't deny that that baby is coming. And there's so much going on, not only physiologically, but emotionally and spiritually, preparing you for the coming baby. And that's actually the season that we're in right now as believers. Romans 8:22 from the Message puts it so well. Eugene Peterson says, was that a clap of thunder? He didn't say that. That was me. Okay. Just a checking. Back to Romans 8:22. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us. It's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That's why the waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are, in fact, a people who are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. This is the living in between. The tension of knowing that Christ came over 2,000 years ago, that he's here right now, and that he's coming again. This is the place that we navigate as Christians. This is where we live. And it's in this place where each day is an opportunity to live faithfully. Each day is an opportunity to, you know, see life as a gift, that it is precious, that there are holy moments every day. We can get so stuck in living for tomorrow that we miss today. And I know that I have absolutely wished away seasons of my life waiting for tomorrow, where God had holy moments in that day that I missed because I wasn't looking for it. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but I know that I've done that. But we have this incredible opportunity, the incredible gift to every day love God with everything we've got and be loved with everything that he has got. And I mean, you know, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Because his love will never leave us. He is love. We just choose whether we live aware of the love, accepting the love, in the love or not. And we have this incredible opportunity to every day to love each other as he's called us to love, because he's called us to love each other as ourselves. Now, if we really think about that statement and how much we value our own level of comfort, You know, Ross's stories and what God has moved and done in him with seeing lives that are totally different yet joyful, that aren't so focused on the more of the society that we live in, I think it's just kind of clearing away our culture, seeing Jesus in the now and being full of hope for his return totally changes the way that we live life, doesn't it? The sacredness of each moment comes alive when we live kind of in Advent all year round, if you get what I mean. We're stewards of today. Now, I absolutely have not mastered this. Surprise, surprise. But you know what? I'm a person who I wake up in the morning and I have to really be very conscious about choosing positive thoughts. There's just kind of a heaviness that I will battle with, and I have to choose life. You know, we have a choice, don't we? It says choose life or choose death. I have to work quite hard at choosing those positive thoughts. And of course, when we do, when we break through, when we glorify God, and really that's the breaking through. It's the thankfulness. It's the gratefulness. It's, Lord, look at who you are and all you've done. That's when we can find the holy in today, the sacred moments in today. And you know what? Sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. And that's life. But it's keeping on, getting back up again and choosing to be thankful, choosing to see him, to be pregnant with hope and joy and love and peace. Because that's who we are as believers. Those are the seeds within us as followers of Christ. Sometimes I lose sight of the victory. But you know what? We know the end of the story. We know how this all plays out. In the grand scheme of things, we are waiting for the return of Christ. We stand on this promise, and our God, our Father, who loves us more than we can ever imagine, he is so faithful. And he is so true, and he never, ever fails us. That is our hope. And so we wait for his return. But we also wait for smaller things in our everyday, don't we? And just because they're smaller doesn't mean that they're insignificant. We wait for the breakthrough, whether that's a financial breakthrough, whether it's a breakthrough with health. We wait for the breakthrough. We wait for people to come round. We wait for people to grow up. We wait for people to find Jesus. We wait for people to be healed inside and outside. We wait. We might be waiting to be seen. We might be waiting to be understood. We're people who wait. And you know what? Waiting isn't a passive thing. Waiting is an active thing. Think about Jesus' parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Eugene Peterson writes in The Message, "It's like a man going off to an extended trip. He calls his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to a third one $1,000, depending on their abilities. And then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and he carefully buried his master's money." And as you may remember from that parable, when the master returned, he said to the first two servants, he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But for our third friend, Mr. Afraid and Overcautious, he was met with extreme disappointment and he was rebuked by his master. Of course, their talents, they represent resources. They represent our resources. They represent who we are and what God has put in our hand. Their waiting for their master to return represents our waiting for our master to return. And what will he find when he does? What will we have done? This is the question that we need to ask ourselves. What will I have done with what he has given me, with the who I am? Can I get over comparison to accept and confidently walk in who he's created me to be? Can I do that? I just ask myself these questions. I'm preaching to myself. What will he find when he returns? Will we have buried our resource and our talent under insecurity, under fear, under grief, under disappointment? Or, like our precious Mary, do we offer ourselves to him? The who we are. Do we offer the who we are to God as an offering, as a gift, as a sacrifice? Just think about Mary, that young, beautiful girl, beautiful in God's eyes because he knew she had what it took to raise his precious baby. Think about that young girl. Some say that she was young as 14. Think about her heart. Think about her response to Gabriel. Think about the commission, the opportunity that God gave her that she absolutely could have said no to. She absolutely could have said, I am not the girl for this. She absolutely could have said, I am too young. I am too ill-equipped. I am too poor. These are all of our excuses, aren't they? They all look different, but we all have them. But instead, Mary said to Gabriel, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She gave the who she was as an offering. She fixed her eyes on Jesus, not on who she wasn't, but who he was, who he is. Imagine, I was just thinking, imagine Mary being kind of illuminated by the warmth and the presence of Gabriel the angel, delivering this incredible news to her, life-changing not only to her, but this history-making news. And then he was gone. And then she's left alone in the darkness. I wonder what she thought. Did I dream that? Was that just some sort of crazy hallucination? Did Gabriel have the right house? Did I hear that right? Did I get some part of that story wrong? She may have not thought any of those things. She may have just been super confident, but she may have thought so things. I do know that it's easy to quickly lose our confidence. You know, we feel we've heard from God about something. You know, we have confirmation in many different places, and we step out into the wait. Does this make sense? We step out into the waiting to see the fulfillment of the promise. And we can be bombarded with all kinds of thoughts and fears and insecurities. So what do we do in the wait? Mary ran to Elizabeth. And I think this is a fantastic piece of wisdom. Who do we run to in the wait? You know, what voices are going to be the voices that shape our perception of what God is calling us into? Because Mary was someone that was a kindred spirit. Sorry, Elizabeth and Mary, kindred spirits. So she ran to somebody who understood miraculous conception because Elizabeth was expecting her own miracle child. So she went to someone who knew. She went to someone who would trust God with her and for her. It's so important that we have these friendships, these God-ordained. I remember Penny speaking about this passage. I've never forgotten these God-ordained friendships. They're so important. They are vital to our walk because we can go to the people who say, no, really? God's not going to do that in your life, or maybe even undermine you, or maybe you'll get caught up in the whole tall poppy thing, whatever it is. We need to go to Elizabeth. We need to go to people who understand the waiting. We need to go to people who will protect the seed that's been planted within us. Luke said that Mary hurried to Elizabeth's house. We need to go to people who will support us and protect the seed. Some voices will spur us on and sharpen us up, and other voices will deflate, distract, and derail us. We need the spur us on, sharpen us up voices to protect the seed, because what we have within us is so incredibly precious. As followers of Jesus, we're pregnant with hope and peace and joy and love. If the fire alarm goes off, I can see those legs. Not my legs, those legs. Are they right? Okay, It won't go off, will it, Peter? Okay. We are a people who hope. We see light in the darkness. We know that the best is yet to come. We carry the presence of God in us and on us, and because of that, other people will know hope. We're a people who hope. We are a people who have peace. Perfect peace is found in Jesus. We walk and we talk with the Prince of Peace. Satan, our adversary, attempts to rob us of peace. His pursuit against us is relentless. His pursuit against us is continuous, and he's determined. He's determined to derail us, which is why we have to protect the seed within us. But our sanctuary is Christ. He is our peace. He is our safety and our refuge. So we wage peace, not war, in this imperfect world, because we know of a perfect peace found in Jesus Christ. We're a people who have joy. This is that life, living water bubbling up within us that we can't even explain. This is the joy we have. It's a deep, deep joy because we're overwhelmed by his grace and his goodness, his mercy and his faithfulness. And this is the praise and thanksgiving. When we worship him, when we have a grateful heart, something miraculous happens inside of us because we're worshiping the creator of the universe. We're taking our eyes off ourselves and putting it on Jesus Christ. That's where we can find joy in the suffering. We find joy in the sacrifice. Jesus' life poured out equals our joy. Can you just taste that? His life poured out on the cross, his sacrifice is where we find life, where we find joy. And it's as we sacrifice ourselves, as we give the who we are to him, that we find joy. We find ourselves. And then there's love. Our Father is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Our Father is so good. He is so good that in the face of this world and everything that we see that we don't understand, that his heart breaks for, he is good and he is hope. He is peace. He is love. And he is joy, and he is for us. And we've got to tell other people that he is for them too. Just like to invite the ushers to hand out communion. And while they're doing that, we are going to watch a short clip. So if somebody could hit the lights, that would be awesome. And if you could hold on to it, and we're going to pray together and take communion together at the end of the service. Would you stand with me? Lord, we thank you for this kingdom, this upside down way of thinking, but it's the right way up. This is how we find life. Lord God, thank you for your death, your sacrifice, your love poured out, your grace poured out on us so that we could be free. Lord, I thank you that we find ourselves in you. Lord, we thank you for this incredible season of Advent. May we live it all year round. But Lord, I pray that you help us to push past everything that's not of you without becoming OTT. But Lord God, that we could push past everything that's not of you and find you, the miraculous, our Savior, the mystery, Lord God, that we would find your glory, Lord, that it would not be robbed from us. We would not let anyone take our peace in Jesus' name, that nobody would rob us of our hope. Lord, we would not throw that away, Lord God, but we would rejoice and we'd have this living water bubbling up joy, knowing We're loved by you. Lord God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.